You have your Bibles. Let's go to Luke chapter 10. With everything going on in our country and everything that's happened in the last few weeks, it'd be real easy to get our minds off what we need to have our minds on. But I was thinking about it sitting on that front seat. There's coming a time when a righteous judge is going to sit on the throne. There won't be no getting away with nothing. There won't be no underhanded nothing. For 1,000 years, everything's going to be peaceful. Amen. And then after that, we go to heaven. You know, with everything going on today, I thought about it. It's real easy to get sad. Charlie Kirk ain't sad.
Come on.
He's in heaven. Amen. Amen. With everything going on, and I had this on my mind, and thinking about the young lady that got killed up in Charlotte on the tram, and Lord just led me to Luke chapter 10. I'll start reading in verse 25. If you're there, say amen. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said unto him, What is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answering said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, Thou hast answered right, this do, and thou shalt live. But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, And who is my neighbor? I don't know, I can just kind of see a little bit of attitude when he says something like that. And who is my neighbor? See, a lot of times we forget these here few verses right before this parable that Jesus gives. This is the reason for the parable. This is the reason for the story. And Jesus answering said, A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion on him. And he went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host, and said unto him, Take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said unto the lawyer, He that showed mercy unto him. Then said Jesus unto him, Go and do thou likewise. Go and do thou likewise. Lord, we love you. We come to you in Jesus' name. Thank you for the reading of your word, God. God, I pray, God, you'd help us right now, Lord, as we try to expound on your word. God, help me to keep my mind focused on what it needs to be focused on right now. God, you move in our church. God, you bless us. Whatever's done, we'll lift up Jesus because, Lord, you're the only one worthy. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Like I said, this kind of hits home, you know, when you watch the video of the young lady, Irina Zaruska, getting killed on that tram, and nobody does anything. I remember reading a story, Brother Chucky, years ago about a woman in a housing department or building up in New York that somebody had attacked her, and she was screaming, Help me, help me, and nobody would open the door, and nobody would do anything, and the man left and came back and killed the lady, and she died right there in the hallway screaming and asking people to help, and nobody lifted a finger. Be the neighbor that'll help.
Amen.
Be the neighbor that'll help. We find here, we find a question of eternal life in verse 25 through 28. This man asked Jesus, he said, "Behold, a certain lawyer stood up intent and said, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said, what is written down in the law? You know, everybody wants to go to heaven.
Amen.
What shall, notice how he said it, what shall I do to make eternal life? What shall I do? See, we want to, and that's the problem with most people. They want to do what they want to do. They want to do it like they want to do it. They don't want to line up with the Word of God. And they don't want to line up with how the Bible tells us. What shall I do? I can work, and Lord, I can work, and let me just work for you. Lord, I can give. Let me just try to give. I can help the needy. I can do all these things. But Jesus took him back to the Word. He said to him, what is written in the law? How readest thou? It's always going to be about the Word. I don't care what your feelings are. It's always going to be about the Word. I don't care how you like it. It don't really matter. It's always going to be about the Word. Whatever the Word says, that's what you might well go on and line up with it, because God ain't changed it in over 4,000 years, and he ain't going to change it again. Amen. You got to understand something. We got to line up with this Bible. This Bible ain't going to line up with you. It ain't your works. It ain't nothing that you can do. You got to line up with the Word. Jesus said, what's written in the law? And how readest thou? Now, before I go any further, I want you to understand something. This lawyer knew the Word. This lawyer was a Jew. He knew the Word. He was studied up in the Word. And he tells Jesus in verse 27, and he answered, thou shalt love the Lord God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. He was quoting directly from Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5, and Leviticus chapter 19, verse 18. He knew the law, but he didn't know the Lord.
Amen.
Big difference. Big difference. I had a friend of mine one time. He knew the Bible. He could quote the Bible, but he was lost as Hogan's goat. Amen. You got to understand something. You might know the Word from one side to the other, but until you know the Lord, the Word really ain't going to make that big of a difference in your life. But when you find out who wrote it, amen, and you start knowing who wrote it, you start knowing the Lord of the law, God, I'm telling you right now, your life can change. So there was a question of eternal life. Now let's look at the excuse that the lawyer gave. Verse 29, but he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, and who is my neighbor? All right, who am I supposed to love? Who deserves my love? Who deserves my help? Who am I supposed to? Well, I've got a lady that lives right beside me on my right-hand side. There's another family that lives right directly behind me. Miss Kay and Brother Roger live right kind of behind me off to the left. Brother Michael Raven lives over there on the left of me. Now, which one's my neighbor?
Come on.
See, if we ain't careful, we want to have our own little circle. I'm going to love my little circle, and the rest of them can fend for themselves. See, that's what it is. Who deserves my time? See, true love looks to help, not to turn a blind eye. And that's why I go back to what happened on that tram in Charlotte. Nobody lifted a finger. No doubt there was five or six people around. That tram was full of people. No doubt somebody in that tram, somebody says they're a Christian. But nobody helps. We all say we're Christians, but do we really help? Now, I don't know how true this is, but I remember reading a story about a pastor that had been voted into his church. He had come in with his family, and his first day actually on the job at the church, his first day, everybody was wondering where the preacher was. The preacher had put on some old clothes and made himself kind of dirty and was setting up by the church sign out at the road. And everybody coming into the church because they got a new pastor. Everybody coming into the church looking for the new pastor. And they couldn't nobody find. And nobody stopped at the road to help the homeless man. And then all of a sudden, the back door opens up, and it was the preacher. And he gets up and preaches from this passage of Scripture. Let me ask you a question. What kind of neighbor are you? Now, I'm going to stop right here. I'm not advocating for nobody to put yourself in harm's way. Amen. That's not what I'm talking about. But what kind of neighbor are we? So Jesus turns it around on him. Let's look at the one in need in verse 30. And Jesus answered, said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. This had to be a Jew coming from Jerusalem. So this was one of his own. This was one of his own. This would be like somebody at Liberty Free Will Baptist Church falling on hard times. This is one of our own. Y'all know how we like to come in. We like to huddle around and help folks. And ain't nothing. I love it. Brother Don Browser, they were bragging on our church the other day about the food that was taken over there and bragging on our deacons and talking about. And that's great. We ought to be there for our own. So this man was a Jew. He was one of his own. This lawyer could understand that. But he was robbed and he was beaten and he was left half dead. Spiritually, we've all been there. We've all been there. Life will rob you, life will beat you, and then life will leave you half dead. Spiritually. Oh, we can come to church and put on our nice clothes and come to church and sit on the pew and smile, and we know when to raise our hand and we know when to say amen. But if we'll be honest, sometimes we come into the church half dead and we leave out of the church half dead. Amen. There was somebody in need. And don't you, I'm going to take a time out here and throw this in. This man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho. Anytime in the Bible talks about somebody going down, that's somebody going backsliding. That's somebody kind of getting out. Always down leaves a notion of somebody leaving the Lord. Even when people are not doing what they're supposed to be doing, that does not exclude us from being the neighbor we're supposed to be. Amen. Well, so-and-so ain't been to church in 6 months. I just don't know if I want to go by and see them. What kind of neighbor are you? Now let's look at the indifference of the people in this story. The religious crowd. A priest and a Levite passed by. Not only passed by, Brother Skip, but saw him. Notice what the Bible said, and I believe every word in this Bible is there for a reason. Luke chapter 10, look at verse 31. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise, a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. In other words, Jackie, here's the picture. The priest came by, saw him, and passed by on the other. In other words, they were over here. He was right there. They saw him. So I'm going to this side of the road. They left where he was and went completely to the other side of the road just so they didn't have to deal with that. How many of us has ever been to Walmart? And somebody's on the pharmacy side, and they got a little thing set up trying to collect money, and we'll go out the other door. Come on. I think I hit a nerve right there. Come on. Are there somebody at the red light, and we'll go another way so we don't have to see that person at the red light? The ones that were supposed to make a difference were the ones that did nothing. And understand this. This was a lawyer. Jesus was slapping him in the mouth. He was in direct violation of the law. Deuteronomy chapter 22, verse 1 through 4, talks about how when you see your neighbor's ox or ass in the ditch, that you go and you help your neighbor and you do for your neighbor and you go above and beyond for your neighbor. This lawyer was in direct violation of the law. Don't you know he felt like an idiot standing there talking to Jesus? About like I do sometimes when the preacher's up preaching.
Amen.
Let me just stop right there and tell you this. The Bible don't mention it. There were other people that probably passed by. This was a very busy road. If you go back and study it out, you know, it's not just the preacher's job and the deacon's job. Hello. It's not just the preacher's job and the deacon's job. It's not just the priest and the Levite's job.
Amen.
Amen. It's all our job. Now let's look at the compassion of the Samaritan. And before I get into it, most of us know that Samaritans were hated by the Jews. They were a half-breed people that were coming, that were kind of brought in by the Assyrians, and they kind of mixed and mingled, and they got mixed blood in them. And the Jews hated them because they worshipped in somewhere else. They didn't worship like they did. They didn't do it like they did it. They didn't look like they looked. So we don't like them. Anybody ever been there?
Amen.
They don't look like I look. They don't act like I act. But the Samaritan, in verse 33, but a certain Samaritan, I believe Jesus throwed that in there just for, the Bible does that, amen. And a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him and went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him. This man went above and beyond for somebody that hated him. But yet, I want you to get a picture. This Jew leaves Jerusalem. He's going down to Jericho. He falls in among thieves. And thieves were bad on that stretch of road back in that day. He fell in among thieves. They beat him half to death. They leave him there. Man, this will make a whole nother sermon.
Come on.
Great. Just kind of see him laying down, Benji, in that ditch. He's bleeding, blood everywhere. He can't hardly move. And a Samaritan comes by. I wonder if he looked up and said, hey, you leave me alone. I don't even like you. I remember preaching one time. I was at a little Southern Baptist church. And I don't know, I didn't feel no resentment or anything like that, you know, but I gave an illustration to something to this effect. I said, if you are a prisoner of war in an intern camp somewhere, we'll just use modern day. You know, in Afghanistan and Iraq, they used a lot of our National Guard. If you in the National Guard and you are a prisoner of war, now let me back up. If you are in the Marine Corps, Marines supposed to be bad. If you're in the Marine Corps and they got you locked up in a prison somewhere and somebody kicks the door down and you notice they got on a National Guard uniform, are you going to tell them, I'm waiting on the Marine Corps? This Jew laying in the ditch half dead did not care that was a Samaritan. He just needed some help, amen? He didn't care who it was. I want you to notice just something. This man did for somebody that hated. His eyes were working for the Lord. He saw the man. Amen. His hands were working for the Lord. His heart was working for the Lord. He had compassion. His hands were working for the Lord. He went in and he started binding him up. His eyes were looking. He saw where he was. And it didn't matter where he was. I'm going to help. How many of us or the neighbor we're supposed to be? See, here's the big one. His wallet was working for the Lord. His wallet was working for the Lord. The Bible talks about it. And he went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave it to the host and said, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. In other words, he spent all night long looking after this man, and in the morning, he gave the innkeeper, I guess he had to go, he was on a journey, he gave the innkeeper money. He said, you take care of him now, and when I come back, if you spend anything else, I'll pay you back.
Amen.
A lot of us, if we ain't careful, we don't mind working, but we sure don't want to pay. And then you got some on the other hand, they don't mind paying, but they sure don't want to work. This was a man that needed help. And helping others might cost you something. It might cost you your time. It cost him his time. Might cost you your resources. Bible says he took his own oil and wine and poured it into his wounds. And took his own, I don't know if he was traveling with a first aid kit, but he bound him up right there. And it took his money. What have we given? What have we given? Now let's look at the command of Jesus. Not a request, a command of Jesus. Which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among thieves? And he said, he that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, go and do thou likewise. Jesus did not just tell us a story, he gave us a command. Amen. And I saw something, Chucky, that I'd never seen in this passage of Scripture, Al. Let's put it all into perspective. Amen. The priest was the moral law. The Levite represented the ceremonial law. In other words, all the law was represented in this story. Neither one could not offer any relief because the law is a knowledge of sin. Ain't that what Paul says? Law is the knowledge of sin, not the cure for sin. Okay? Now we have a Samaritan in this story. And this was not by accident, because in the Bible, Jesus is called a Samaritan by somebody. In John chapter 8, verse 48, then answered the Jews and said unto him, say we not well that thou art a Samaritan and hast a devil? Jesus answered, I have not a devil, but I honor my Father, and ye do dishonor me. Aren't you glad that when the law couldn't help, aren't you glad when life had left you beat up, half dead, and going to hell, that the law couldn't help? But glory to God, a Samaritan, Jesus Christ came by your way, picked you up out of the ditch, bound your wounds, cleaned you up, set you on a solid rock, glory to God. And thank God, that's the neighbor we ought to be. My wife kind of put me in my place this week. We were talking about the little girl on the tram. She said, wouldn't it be nice if somebody went to the jailhouse and talked to that man and led him to the Lord? I said, yeah, it would. I believe with all my heart Charlie Kirk was a Christian. I believe that. From everything I could see that I watched, everywhere he went, he proclaimed Jesus. We probably knew you probably couldn't make him no more happy today than if somebody was to go to that man that shot him and lead him to the Lord. What kind of neighbor are we? What kind of neighbor are we? I was talking to a friend of mine today. Me and him got to swapping stories. And we kind of talked about the thing in Charlotte, and this was before I found out that Charlie Kirk had been shot. And there's a funny story. I believe it was Billy Sunday, if I'm not mistaken, was preaching in Texas. And Billy Sunday was one of them that upset everybody. He just told you like it was. If you liked it, fine. If you didn't like it, fine. It didn't matter to him. He just telling the Bible. Said the back door of the church swung open, Taylor. Said a man was standing there with a coat and chaps on with a big whip. And he said, the devil told me to come by here and whip you. Billy Sunday was an ex-professional baseball player, if I'm not mistaken. And they said when Billy Sunday jumped the little rail that was on the pulpit, he said, well, God just told me to beat the devil out of you. See, that's my kind of preacher. And then he tells me this story. He said, well, did you hear about the man that had threatened to kill Billy Graham? I said, no, I ain't heard about that one. Years ago, and this is what he said. He said a man had threatened to kill Billy Graham, gave death threats, said he showed up at his house. And preacher Billy Graham happened to be home with his wife and said that on the front porch, they got into a fight. Said Billy Graham hurt the man. Preacher Billy Graham, pretty good-sized feller. Beat the man down. When he got him subdued, led him to the Lord. Don't always work that way, though, folks. How many times have we failed to be the neighbor that we're supposed to be? See, I like the Billy Sunday story. I even like the Billy Graham story. But what about the Charlie Kirk story? What kind of neighbor are we? You see, we can all claim to be a Christian. But when the rubber meets the road, are we? See, it'd be real easy tonight to go to bed mad as fire about what's happened and what's transpired. Or we can get on our knees tonight and turn it over to the God of the universe and let him handle it. He's the one that said, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay. Amen. He's either God of your life or he's not. And see, I'm preaching to myself now. I'm just preaching to myself. I'm one of them. My wife can't stand to watch a movie with me. Or somebody does somebody wrong, I'm fussing and carrying on, having a fit. And then when it comes to real life, Brother Donald, I really show out until it gets real. Until it gets real. What's your prayer going to be tonight? What's your life going to be tomorrow? Are you going to be the neighbor that you need to be? If you would bow your heads with me.